Gingrich. And, well, anyhow, I contacted that person whose name is Sarah Taub, and Sarah has kindly agreed to be a guest on the KSCO Saturday special today. So let's bring Sarah on. Hey, Sarah, you there?
Hi, Michael. I think I'm here.
Good. You are there. Good. And I believe your partner, Michael Rios, is with you as well?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We're both here.
All right,
hi, Michael.
Right here, Michael.
How you doing?
Good. Good, good.
All right. So, and someone else has called today. And let's see. Let me lock you guys in so that we don't here. Yeah. Okay, you're locked in here so that we'll be able to do conferencing here on the radio program. Now, there's someone named Brad in Santa Cruz who has called. I think this is our Brad because I recognize the phone number. Am I right, Brad Cava?
No, not Brad Cava.
Oh, it's not?
No.
Oh, no, you're right. I don't recognize. So you're calling because someone told me that one of our hosts touched on this topic earlier this week. So anyhow, and then you called in right now, even before we opened the phone line. So I thought it might have been our Brad. But since you're on the phone, you've called in. Do you want to weigh in on this before we even start talking with Sarah and Michael?
I would like to only to ask you, Michael, really what your motivation was to bring this out. Not that it bothers me as a subject or that I disagree with open relationships between two consenting people. What makes me curious is that now that this has come out about Gingrich, all of a sudden it seems to me as though it's trying to be made less of an issue than it should be for somebody running for president, especially when that person was the tip of the spear that went after a sitting president for what was called then an affair. And I just really think it's a way to get him out of looking two-faced.
I hadn't even thought about that. It's just something that's in the news. It's a topic we've never covered, to my knowledge, here on KSCO. I'm always looking for interesting topics here for the Saturday special, and it was Friday, and I said, we don't have an interesting topic yet, but there's one in the news.
I find it interesting that you decided to do this. I've just noticed within the last maybe three or four, an ad being played for Newt Gingrich on the station at the same time.
An ad?
I just thought I'd bring that up. Yeah.
I don't even know about that.
Oh, yeah. It's the one with Michelle Bachmann on there being all effusive of...
Brad, let me explain something. Let me explain something, because obviously you think that there's some ulterior motive that I have, as if I have the power to influence people, you know. But, okay, I can tell you right away, right straight out, that if you've heard an ad for Newt Gingrich on this station, it was not an ad that this station was paid to play. It was probably on the Rush Limbaugh show or one of these, syndicated shows.
This is completely separate. I've heard it three or four times.
Okay, what show did you hear it on?
I've heard it on different shows.
Well, what? Name one.
Okay, during What's Left, I believe I heard it on Thursday. I've heard it in the evening, probably after Charlie's show, just before either...
So you think KSCO is supporting Newt Gingrich or something, and is trying, and that I've decided to come with this topic for the Saturday special, to validate open marriages?
Michael, that's what I'm asking.
Okay, well the answer you're wrong. It has nothing to do with that.
I appreciate it, and I believe you. I was just curious.
Okay,
I did find I do find it coincidental that what I've heard supporting Newt Gingrich and now this being a topic.
Well, I sure want to find out what ad that you heard because...
Well, it's got Michelle Bachmann talking about him and welcoming him and what a treat it is to have the speaker there. Oh, God. It's just disgusting.
Okay. Well, listen, Brad, one thing I'm not, and I guess it's I'm not... I don't manipulate things. I'm as real a deal as thing, you know. If I have an opinion, so I'll come right out and say I think everybody should vote for Newt Gingrich, and I'm not going to hide behind anything or try to do things deceptively. I didn't
want it to sound accusational.
Okay.
I simply wanted to ask the question.
Okay. All righty.
And I appreciate your answer.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling. There was Brad, not Brad Cava in Santa Cruz. Back to Sarah and Michael.
Hi there.
How you doing?
So, doing good.
So anyhow, you guys have been in a committed open marriage. Or is it an open relationship? Are you guys
relationship.
Married? Relationship. Okay, so you guys aren't married, never have been, right?
Right.
Not to each other.
Not to each other.
Oh, okay. And so have you each been married to other people?
Yes, correct.
Okay, and while you were married to other people, you decided to take up with each other?
No, we didn't even know each other at that time in our lives.
Let me just give you a brief history before it gets too complicated.
Sure.
When I met her, she'd been divorced for more than 5 years, and I'd been divorced for 4 or 5 years. I was always polyamorous. The marriage I had was an open marriage. None of this new. I've always only had open relationships since I was a teenager.
Okay, and whenever you have a relationship whenever you start a relationship with someone, have you traditionally said, "Hey, this is who I am, and this is how I am," and
you have to
understand that. In other words, full disclosure from the beginning. Yes,
that's really the only way to do it. Otherwise, you know, the other person is falling in love with someone who's not you, and what's the point of that?
Okay.
No, I want people I want to be in relationship with people who love me for who I am. And who I am is polyamorous.
Okay.
She's a really open, warm, loving person, and she loves lots of people.
Okay. All right. So, you know, now that I'm looking at this email that Rosie sent me where I learned about you guys, yeah, open marriage is a word used, but here it also says open relationships. So I don't know. Maybe there are some people who would probably be disgusted and revolted that we're even having this discussion on KSCO. And to those people, I say sorry. I mean, don't listen if it bothers you that much. But it is a real concern. I mean, it's a real, genuine, legitimate topic, and that's what we do on this talk radio station. we like to discuss topics that haven't been discussed very much, especially if they become prominent in the news.
And thank you so much for providing this space. And what I'd really like to say is that polyamorous relationships and successful open relationships are really all about communication, honesty, and intimacy. You have to know yourself really, really well, and you have to know your partner really well. Some people can kind of get by with the relationship format that the culture has handed to them. You know, okay, we're going to get married. We'll never have sex with anyone else. We'll never look at anybody else. And some people can do that, and that works for them. But polyamory and open marriages are about having conscious choice and freedom to create the relationships that work for you and work for your partner or partners.
Okay. Now that doesn't sound unreasonable to me. Does it sound unreasonable to anybody who's listening to this program? Give us a call, 831-479-1080. I'm very, very interested in what people who are listening have to say about this. Or maybe people don't have opinions on it at all. We were going to be talking about open marriage. And
mm-hmm.
When you talk about open, when you bring the word marriage into something, it conjures up all kinds of considerations about gay, you know, same-sex marriages and so forth. And the ongoing debate that's been going on for several years now about the definition of a marriage being between a man and a woman. So maybe if we call this open, should we? I'm just sort of thinking out loud here. Should we be having a discussion on open marriages or open relationships? If it's open marriages, I think it could be pretty controversial. If it's open relationships, who's going to complain? I mean, as long as everybody is on the same page.
Well, keep in mind, 40 years ago, even open relationships were wildly controversial. When I was growing up, the idea of an open relationship was just really shocking to people.
What happened to change that?
Well, that's a good question. I think simply that greater communication all the way around, that, you know, when I grew up mostly in the 50s and the 60s, and there was still a lot of mythology there. I mean, John Kennedy was in the White House, and he apparently had lots of lovers, but the press, there was kind of an agreement among the media that we don't talk about that. But, I mean, it wasn't just
because
John Kennedy.
Because the press was in love with Kennedy like they're in love with Obama, right?
Oh, no, but they had, not just that, no,
and they'll do no wrong, he can do no wrong as far as the press
is concerned. They did the same thing for Eisenhower. They did the same thing for, I mean, it was simply, you know, kind of a gentleman's agreement, and it was gentleman only back those days. It was a gentleman's agreement that, you know, somebody's sex life, a politician's sex life, was basically off limits unless he was gay.
Uh-huh.
So what's happened is that over time, people get more and more exposed, you know, as the media exposure increases, as our means of communications increase, people get exposed to more and different ideas. And so, for example, originally gay marriage was shocking to people. And now that in places where people know lots of people who are gay and married, it's like, this is boring. You know, it's like, so, you know, so what? And the answer is not much. You know, you get happy gay marriages and unhappy gay marriages and gay divorces, just the way you have happy, you know, heterosexual marriages and unhappy heterosexual marriages and heterosexual divorces. You know,
well,
it's
not as if we tried very hard. We made one attempt, one announcement. If there's anybody listening to the morning show at 7:30 yesterday on KSCO, 7:30 in the morning yesterday, who is in an open marriage, to please, you know, get in touch with me so that we can arrange to have that person on as a guest. And nobody called. Now, we only made the announcement once. Nobody got in touch with us. And when I first connected with Sarah, she was a little surprised learning that, you know, it was difficult for us to, like I said, it was sort of an afterthought. It's not something we worked on for a long, long time and made multiple announcements. But the reaction from Sarah yesterday was, oh, you guys are in Santa Cruz? You should have no problem at all getting there are plenty of open marriages and open relationship people there.
Yeah, well, there's two. There's at least two polyamory groups in Santa Cruz that I know of, and you know, possibly more. I mean, I'm not in that area, so it took me a few seconds only to find two of them.
So you didn't know about that, Sarah? Are you still on?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, so when you made that remark to me about, hey, I'm surprised that you're having any difficulty at all finding that in Santa Cruz of all places, you did not know specifically of any people practicing polyamory, as you call it, or did
actually,
you?
Actually, I do know poly friends. I do have polyamorous friends who live in that area.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and were you able to get in touch with them and sort of give them a heads up about this program?
No, unfortunately, I wasn't able to reach them.
Ah, okay. Yeah, so,
but as Michael said, there are polyamory groups. And it may be that people are resonating more with the word polyamory than with open marriage or open relationship. I mean, polyamory means more than one loving, intimate relationship. So, you know, an open marriage could mean, well, okay, you can go have sex with someone, but don't fall in love or don't tell me about it. Or polyamory, people who practice that tend to want more emotional connection, more intimacy. Maybe the label being used didn't attract the poly people.
Okay.
Oh, maybe. Just for what it's worth, the distinction between open marriage, open relationship, polyamory, and such is not very clear and not very important for the most part. It's not, the differences are pretty slim. So, for example, when I was married, we had an open marriage. And as it happened, neither of us had much in the way of other lovers because we had three high needs kids and, you know, we had our hands full. So, in theory, had we had time to have lovers, other lovers, it would have been perfectly fine.
But as it was, because you had three high, what did you say, kids? What kind of kids?
High needs. Kids that need a lot of attention. Some need more attention than others. Ours needed a lot.
So you got three of them that needed extra attention.
Yep.
Uh-huh. How old are those kids now?
25, 23, and 20. So, but uh-huh. as far as, you know, kids who need parents' attention, we won the lottery.
I see. And are those kids pretty well-adjusted kids now that they're adults?
Oh, they're
amazing human beings.
I was going to say, and she's not the mother, by the way.
Uh-huh.
If we could spend the whole 2 hours talking about my kids, they're wonderful. There's no two ways about it.
And they grew up in a household that approved of open relationship and open marriage.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And
they knew about it, and it was, you know, the only negative. Basically, I would say all three of them at this point are either. Polyamorous or flexible about it, you know.
No, the middle one's monogamous.
Sometimes.
Wow. God. Okay. Well, it shouldn't be so difficult for me to, you know, comprehend all this, because on the surface, it seems perfectly reasonable, but it's just so contrary to everything I've observed in my life, you know?
Well, see, we're in a monogamous culture. That's, you know, it's like, how many people did you grow up around, your situation may be different, but how many people did you grow up around speaking something other than English as their primary language?
I'll be honest with you, I don't know.
Okay, but not a lot.
Uh-huh.
Most of your culture was English, right?
Yes, of course.
But yet English is the native language of only a minority of people in the world as a whole. So the localness of what you grew up with gives you a very strong sense of what the way the world is. Sarah has a great story about milk pitchers.
Oh, when I go home and visit my parents, you know, they still live in the house that I grew up in. And the milk pitcher there, I look at it and it's like, wow, this is the essence of milk pitcher. It's the first one I ever saw. It's the way milk pitchers are supposed to be. It will always be that way for me, just because it's the one I grew up with. But for someone who grew up with seeing a lot of different milk pitchers, you know, hey, it's just another one of many.
A milk pitcher or a milk, you know, bottle?
It was a white pitcher. It's beautiful.
Yeah, her parents would take the milk out of the bowl and pour it into a separate pitcher for serving it on the table.
Does everyone do that?
Okay. All righty.
But for, you know, just the way to her, there's only one kind of milk pitcher in the world.
Somebody is manipulating a telephone here where it's a very clicky.
Sorry.
Oh.
Yeah, I got my headset caught something.
Oh. Okay. All righty. Well, we're talking with Sarah Taub and Michael Rios, both committed to open relationships. Okay, and they are not married, but they might just as well if they were married. I mean, how come you guys aren't married?
Well, to me, it was important, really, to feel completely in control of and a choice about my relationship, and I didn't really want the state involved in it. And it was a time before gays and lesbians could get married, and I felt in solidarity with them. If they couldn't get married, I didn't want to get married either. And, you know, things have shifted since then, but I really have seen a reason to reevaluate it.
Right. Okay.
I mean, the big pressure reason to get married these days is in order to get health insurance. You know, if you got one partner who's insured and the other who's not.
Sure. All right. If you want to give us a call, join in the conversation. It's 479-1080 here at your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. My name is MZ. With me on the phone from you guys are in Virginia, I think, right? Area 703?
Yeah, just outside Washington,
right?
D.C.
Yeah, Sarah Taub and Michael Rios, we're talking about open marriages, open relationships. 479-1080 in area 831 if you want to join the conversation here. We'd love to hear from you. And we already have someone on the line here. It's John in Seattle. John, welcome to the KSCO Saturday Special.
Yeah, hi, Michael.
Hi.
And also the other Michael and Sarah.
Hi there.
Hi, John.
Now, John, are you a normal listener to KSCO? Are you really in Seattle?
I'm really in Seattle. Uh-huh. And the word about this show went out, of course, over the Internet, so I suspect there are people listening all over the world at this point.
Uh-huh.
But I certainly have a number of friends in Santa Cruz who are polyamorous. And who are they? Who are they?
Names. Give us names.
Well, I'm reluctant to do that just on the grounds of privacy, but one of them
It's not very open then.
Well, I think, there's certainly authors, and, there's one person there that's authored books about this sort of thing, Susie Bright. So I don't think she's a celebrity, so it's probably okay to mention her name.
Okay.
And, maybe she'll even call in.
That would be great if Susie would call in to either correct us or add to the conversation here.
Yeah.
Because that's what we would really like. I would really hope that as many people listening to us, particularly from the regular KSCO coverage area, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, Silicon Valley, and into the Central Valley, into Fresno and Modesto, on up to Sacramento. I'm really interested in how many open marriage or open relationship people are listening in our coverage area first, and obviously, beyond that, where, you're in Seattle, John, and so tell us how you got into this whole thing.
Well, I got into it because my wife and I married somewhat early, and we didn't sow our wild oats. And once we were married and had a child or two, we sort of looked around and said, we sort of missed out on this. And people caught our eye, and we had friends that were doing similar things. And so, and that was right in the mid-60s. We had friends that we went to college in Portland and down to Berkeley and were involved in the Sexual Freedom League. So we were getting a lot of feedback. And we eventually, Irene found a friend that she liked, and I actually started going with his girlfriend, and so it went from there.
Hmm. Okay. All righty. We're talking about open relationships on KSCO AM 1080, the Saturday Special. We've got John in Seattle, Sarah and Michael in Virginia. Billy in Atlanta is on hold, and who knows who else is going to call 831-479-1080. But we do have a commercial break here, so let's take that right now. You're listening to your favorite radio station. We hope you will continue to listen because there's a lot more worth listening to.
The best things in life are free, and if you like free money, I just might have some for you when you refinance at Pacific Inland. Hi, this is Jim Chubb. Improve your cash position just in time for the holidays. Call us at 475-2600 for home loans as low as 3.25% with no borrower paid closing costs. That's 475-2600 for loans up to $625,000 with no borrower paid closing costs. Some restrictions apply. Rates are subject to change. Our NMLS is 361091 and DRE 00956877. The most important number for you to remember, 475-2600.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call Andy or Phyllis Anderson at 888-245-0300. That's 888-245-0300.
Well, I'm sure you must have heard this again and again.
What would you get if you combined the great taste of that breakfast drink Tang along with 187 different vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes added in the healing properties of green tea?
Flowerpowerdrink.com.
Let me share with you a new tasty treat idea. Take one packet of Polyburst energy drink and pour it into a hot cup of water. That's right, a hot cup. Mmm, tastes delicious, especially in these cold, chilly days. Or instead of a cup of coffee or tea.
FlowerPowerDrink.com.
Long-term sustained energy without the jitters. It helped people lose weight and gave more cellular nutrition than the best multivitamin known to man.
FlowerPowerDrink.com.
The natural energy drink polymers. Try it, you'll like it.
FlowerPowerDrink.com.
Some are virgin, some are extra virgin, but some are not virgin at all. Hello, this is Susan Pappas from the True Olive Connection with an invitation for you to meet the man who knows the difference. Tom Mueller, author of Extra Virginity, The Sublime and Scandalous World of Olive Oil. Tom will be kicking off his national book tour at the True Olive Connection in downtown Santa Cruz on Sunday, January 22nd from 10 to 3. Join us for the fun, with great stories from the sublime and scandalous world of olive oil. And taste some great olive oils that will have everybody cheering. Opa! Yes, Tom Mueller is coming to the Central Coast, and the True Olive Connection will be hosting him at the store at 106 Lincoln Street, downtown Santa Cruz. The True Olive Connection has also secured a very limited number of books. Please reserve your copy today for signing on Sunday the 22nd. Call the True Olive Connection at 831-458-6457 to reserve your copy. Mark your calendars. Tom Mueller at the True Olive Connection, Sunday, January 22nd. Opa!
For more information, go to TrueOliveConnection.com.
If you're down and confused and you don't remember who you're talking to, concentration, slip away, because your baby, so far away.
Well, there's a road in the mystic dust, and the eagle flies with the dove. And if you can't be with the one you love, honey, love the one you're with. Love the one you're with. Love the one you're with. Love the one you're with.
Very, very good, Nikki. Thank you. Your choice of bumper music is superb. All right, back to our guests Sarah and Michael, and we're talking about open marriages and open relationships and polyamory. I never heard that word. I never hoyed that void until yesterday. I didn't hear it yesterday. I heard it today for the first time. I read it yesterday on this email that Rosie sent me about you guys. So anyhow, let me lock you in here so that we can go back to John in Seattle. We also have Billy in Atlanta and Dawn in San Leandro. Very interestingly, ladies and gentlemen, and Nikki, don't you find this fascinating? Not a single call from our regular KSCO coverage area. Everything, all of the callers are from out. What does that mean? What does that mean? Do you have an idea? What do you think that means, Sarah and Michael?
Sounds to me that in our sex-saturated society, sex has become boring.
Yeah, but only in Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. I mean, we're getting all these people from far away who are obviously listening on the internet. Okay,
well, we'd love to hear from your local people.
Yeah, 479-1080.
We'd love to talk to you. We sure would.
Okay. Now, John in Seattle, Michael? We want to let you finish up here, okay? Hold on just a second, Mike. Yeah, John, you're on. We didn't want to cut you off here. We had to do a commercial here.
That's okay. If I were going to add anything to that story about how we got into it around 1967, it would be to say that the person I was partnered with then, I'm still partnered with now. We have grandchildren. We take them to poly camp every summer, or at least the older one, and he loves it.
Poly camp?
That's a group of polyamorous people who come together and just camp out in a state park like any other group of people might do. And so it's not terribly exciting.
Okay. Are any of these people married to each other?
Yep. I'm certainly legally married to my partner, but I'm not pleased with marriage as the way it's practiced in the U.S. I mean, I think the government has no business licensing sacraments. So if you're not religious, it's a bad deal. And if you are religious, I think it's blasphemy. So I'd weigh in on that.
Why did you bother to get married at all?
Well, you're talking 1964.
Oh, okay.
All right. And we were with child, and we did it because that's what people did.
Sure, sure.
And one more thing about that. And when we got married in 1964, our marriage was illegal in 16 or 17 states because we're mixed race. So we've been there and done that. And that bit of nonsense went away in 67 when the ACLU got the miscegenation laws thrown out. But we're, the whole business with who can get married and who has the right to say so is such incredible nonsense, and we continue it to this day.
I gotcha. Hey, well, that's fascinating. I want to thank you for calling into the KSCO Saturday special. And we're happy you've discovered our radio station as a result, apparently as a result of this program.
Well, I took a look at it, and I like the way that it's sort of family-run. I think what you guys are doing are terrific, so that's one of the reasons.
Well, yeah, thanks very much. I think every station, every community should have a station like KSCO, and very few of them do. And I think that's so sad. But that's what corporate corporatization of the communications has done to our country, ladies and gentlemen. And our government has made that possible by basically lifting all limits, essentially all limits, on the number of radio stations that can be owned by a single entity. And they did that back in 2006, I think it was. 1996, excuse me.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Michael. But,
it was terribly.
Unfortunately, our right to free speech has, for all practical purposes, been bought, packaged, and sold.
Yeah. Well, we're still here, and we're proud to be here, and we'll be here as long as we can. So,
we appreciate that.
Yeah.
What initially was the impetus for this program, as I understand it, was the thing going on around Newt Gingrich.
Yes, that is
and
correct.
So I would like to address that very briefly.
Sure.
And that is a couple of things that Huffington Post, for example, posted an article that said polyamory. Newt likes it, Marianne doesn't. And it just made me cringe because what Newt Gingrich was doing does not match anything I know of as polyamory, open relationships, or any behavior with integrity of any kind that I can think of. The critical thing to, you know, open relationships or multiple partner relationships is communication, integrity, consent, you know, and his situation had none of those. He was involved with this. If we believe Marianne's statements and other published reports, he was involved with the other woman for 6 years before he told Marianne about it. And whether or not he asked for an open relationship, there was nothing about his situation that would fit that mold at all.
Yeah, you know, I see what you're saying.
This is about consenting adults doing what they choose to do.
Yeah.
I actually had... one of my lovers say something to me this morning. She said, well, you know, to me, polyamory is not about sex at all. What it's about is really deep, intimate friendships that if we choose to have sex, it's okay.
That sounds good.
A way of taking sex off the table as a big deal.
Uh-huh.
It's a way of saying, hey, I really dig this person. I really find a lot, you know, of amazing things about this person. And... you know, the sex is no longer a barrier. You know, like, may I have sex? May I not have sex with this person? Will other people be scandalized if it looks like I'm spending time with them, even if I'm not having sex? All that nonsense just goes away.
Yeah.
And you get to relate to people as people.
Fascinating. Want to thank John in Seattle for calling in. We're going to take our next caller now. That's Billy in Atlanta. Billy, welcome to the KSCO Saturday special on the subject of open relationships and open marriage with MZ, Sarah, and Michael. You're on.
Hey, guys. It's Billy in Atlanta, and Michael, Sarah. Good to talk to all of you guys.
Yeah. So tell us about you, Billy, in Atlanta.
Well, actually, if I seem a little distracted, I'm driving right now. I just picked our partner up from his Free Thought meetup. My wife and daughter and I picked him up, and we're headed to Marble Crab Sleamery to... get some ice cream. So,
wait a minute. You picked up your partner.
Yes.
So wait a minute.
We're in a committed triad of over 3 years now with our partner, and it's one of the best things that's ever happened.
So
to
your
our
partner is a he because you said he.
That's correct.
Okay, so you're a he, presumably.
Correct.
Your partner is a he, and you're I'm getting a little discombobulated here. You're the third person is your wife?
That's correct. And she and I have been married for over 15 years.
Okay. And have you had this kind of a marriage for all of that, or is this something that you figured out later on?
This is something that we started about 10 years ago. So about 5 years into our marriage, we watched my brother go through a really, really nasty divorce over an imagined cheating scandal. He wasn't having an affair with anyone, but his wife thought he was. And my wife looked at me one day and said, you know, I never want to have to worry about what you're doing or who you're with, and I don't want you to worry about me. So how about we just be honest with each other and be open and tell each other everything? That's how we got started in it.
Wow. I mean, is there something wrong with me? I don't find anything wrong with that.
I wish more people were as receptive to the idea as you have been on your show today. It's really good to have a positive ear to talk to in a public media forum.
Yeah, I mean, it's just being honest is integrity is now there are people who will say that's not honest. Being honest isn't honest. I mean,
yeah, funny how that is, you know. And some people actually, they find that it's easier to accept conventional cheating than honest, open relationships, and that's just strange.
Yeah, they've done a couple of polls recently, and people said that they would rather be lied to than know the truth. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, wow, I think they come from a different planet than I do.
Yeah, really? Holy Christmas. So, wait a minute. You know, I get the idea here. What Rosie, our executive producer and a co-host of the morning show on this radio station, sent me was something that says interviews available, open marriage. And it gives your name and phone numbers, Michael and Sarah. And so when I called you yesterday, I mean, surely you have other stations contacting you, right, about this? I mean,
yeah, I have a few.
But not as many as you had hoped or thought?
We don't, you know, just to be really clear, this is not a cult. We're not looking for converts. I didn't have any hopes one way or another, but it's the kind of thing that if there are folks out there that are questioning or curious, confused, or even hostile to it, we're more than happy to talk about it.
And also, at this point, there are actually plenty of articulate speakers for open relationships and polyamory. So, you know, there's plenty of people out there to choose from.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And we want to hear from some more of them. We're at area 831-479-1080. 479-1080. We're at ksco.com. If you want to listen to us online, we stream 24/7. We're out of Santa California, and we're a pretty popular radio station out this way. And I'm continuing to be fascinated by the fact that we haven't received any phone calls at all from our local audience, which normally is huge. It's huge for the Saturday special. So I don't know. Maybe it's because people just want to listen, because this is such a it's politics all day long on all the radio stations, you know.
Yeah, right.
And maybe because we're doing something that is so different, which is exactly why I wanted to do it. I mean, it's exactly why. Plus, we had a very good reason to do it, because it's in the news with Newt Gingrich. Okay, here come the phone calls. They're all from outside area codes also. It's so funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I put something in?
Sure,
Michael?
Sure. Go ahead, Sarah.
So, you know, you mentioned politics, and without picking a particular political side or, you know, orientation, I want to say that the skills that we need to practice good poly relationships are helpful in the political world as well. They're all about communication, honesty, saying what you mean, you know, being willing to negotiate for a win-win. You know, Mike and I teach workshops on those skills, and you know, these benefit any kind of relationship, whether it's monogamous, whether it's polyamorous, whether it's a work relationship, a community relationship, whatever. You know, being able to know what you want and be honest about it and hear somebody else's desires and take no for an answer and move on to something else and look for another win-win, that is just so important.
I think you're on to something. Oh, my God. Now, wait a minute. Billy, are we done with you, Billy in Atlanta, or you want to say something else?
Yeah, I could just chime in here on that and agree 100% with Sarah. That's exactly what it's about. Communication skills are one of the things that we can never be perfect at, but can always try to better ourselves at. And that's what we kind of, I don't want to use the word preach, but in our group here in Atlanta, 300 people strong, that's what we tell everybody. The key to successful relationship, whether it be monogamous, polyamorous, open marriage, or just friends on the street and coworkers, you have to be able to communicate in any form of relationship.
All right. Great. Hey, thank you so much. I think we finally got a full board. Now, I would have expected this, you know, a long time ago. But, Billy, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for calling in. And we hope you'll continue to listen to KSC.
Thanks for having me. And okay. I'm really surprised, too, you guys don't have any more local call-ins from that area.
Wait a minute. There's Dawn in San Leandro. There's Alan in Boston, Massachusetts. There's Tara in New York. There's, of course, Sarah and Michael in Virginia. And there's someone from Area 215, O'Carroll in Pennsylvania. But all of those people, please bear with me for just a little bit here because... Norma Jean in Capitola.
Oh, good.
Our first local caller to the Saturday special. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Well, I'm one of your regular callers, or irregular. But anyway, I have a bad marriage. I've had two marriages, a bad marriage where I was cheated upon. And I wish that particular John, I seem to have Johns in my life, that if he would have been honest with me so that I could have made a choice. But, you know, I was young then at 18 and suffered a lot because of his infidelities. I then divorced him, had a really wonderful marriage. But now I've lost two of my husbands are in heaven, and I have a new partner, another John. But when I entered this relationship with John, he wanted an open relationship, as one of his admirers had. And I said that I didn't want one, but, you know, I would continue to date him, but I wanted him to be honest with me. If he felt he found somebody else, just tell me, and I would just move on and turn the page. But I did not want an open relationship myself. I do think these people that commented on the radio station today, I thank them for their honesty. And that's the difference, is their honesty and commitment. That's the difference between Newt Gingrich. Gingrich, you know, lied to his wife, or I guess two wives, for years and years and years. You know, and then this Callista, I just can't think much of her. And I'm not a Republican. I won't vote for him anyway. But I just to think of having her for a first lady is as bad as maybe having Monica Lewinsky as a first lady. Yeah, you know, because, you know, she was working with him as those aides and having that, carrying on that relationship, knowing that he was a married man, and then insisted when he, I mean, his own people were ready to turn. I guess a lot of them did quit on him when when Callista wanted to go see her parents, and that's what she wanted to do. Well, he dropped his whole campaign and everything, and then I know he spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on her in diamonds while his other wife is suffering, and but you know one I guess both of them were ill with deathly illnesses. So Gingrich, and then what he did when somebody questioned him about it, all he did is yell at him, and that's all he does is yell back and say that he was appalled. I mean, that was a big joke for Gingrich to be appalled because somebody questioned
him
about
it. Were you appalled that he was appalled?
Yeah, I was. I was appalled that he was appalled that he had questioned them for, you know, thinking they're bad for talking to him when he's the one that had these, you know, his relationships out of marriage and lied to his wife.
Yes.
And treated them badly while he's taking this hussy around all over. And, I mean, I just wouldn't want her for a first lady. And if I was Republican, I mean, that's the thing. I would not vote for him because of his loudmouth. You couldn't put him in front of a politician. We have a situation here that we've had that they need somebody like Ron Paul that can negotiate. Or, and Obama's been doing pretty good with the mess that he was left with.
I know people. I'm thinking of a particular person right now who loves Newt Gingrich and deplores the idea of open marriages.
Yeah.
And this person will still vote for Newt Gingrich because – I think this person will still vote for Newt Gingrich because that has nothing to do with running the country. And having his head screwed on intended, having his head screwed on straight politically, you know, and knowing the difference between right and wrong. Norma Jean, before we let you go, I'm dying to know what is the current status of your marriage with a current guy.
Oh, I'm not married.
Okay. You're
I'm a senior living together. No, I had two marriages.
Okay, excuse me. You said two of your husbands are in heaven. Okay, you're in a. You're with somebody right now, not married to him.
I'm in sin, I guess, according to some people, but I'm a senior citizen, and I even had another senior citizen in my complex of seniors. She's a light on proof of living, you know, living together outside of marriage when she found out we weren't married. I said, well, you know, I'm 75, and my mother didn't give a damn, and I don't know why anybody else should.
What a great caller you are. Thank you so much.
Okay.
And I know you've called before, but thank you for being
the only caller
from KSCO country to call in today.
A quick comment I have about that. I'm the one that's a real estate broker, and I used to get the tax rolls. And what it is here is there's so many people here that the women have their own maiden name, and that's what I like. And whether they're married or just living together, it's none of our damn business. But, you know, if they're running for politics, maybe that's something different. But right now, there is a lot of people in here. I would say a third of the roles here, the people in title are women and men, have different names.
Okay, thank you so much
for
calling the Saturday special. That was Norma Jean in
Capitola.
Yeah. Here's Dawn in San Leandro. Hey, Dawn, we're going to have to hold you over, I think. We only have about 30 seconds until we got to go to the news, but we'll hold you over. Real quick, are you an open relationship person?
I am. I identify as polyamorous, but I consider those two things to be very closely related.
Oh, okay, good. Well, listen, we can't wait to hear from you. We will be back in 6 minutes after the K's commentary, actually. It's KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. We join CNN News in Progress.
So I believe that Mitt Romney has the political strength. I also believe he has the intelligence. I'm all about creating jobs in the economy.
On the flip side, voter Pam Tiernan says she was persuaded by hearing and seeing former House Speaker Newt Gingrich campaign.
I have more faith in Newt for some reason, and I'm not quite sure why. But after listening to them and actually seeing Newt here in person, I really like the things that he says. So I hope he believes what he says.
Firefighters in Nevada say they have the upper hand on flames that tore through 29 homes and about 3,000 acres. Reporter Pat Thomas with CNN affiliate KOLO-TV says the cause of the fire is known.
Elderly man has come forward to say that he, being kind of embarrassed by it, he apparently was throwing away some ashes, and we had winds about 80 miles an hour, and apparently one of those ashes got picked up and just got thrown around, and it was a wildfire within, you know, just a matter of minutes.
The Department of Defense identified 6 Marines killed in Afghanistan. Their helicopter crashed. The Taliban claims responsibility for the accident. There is also indication that mechanical failure brought the chopper down. The NATO-led force reports there was no enemy activity around the crash site. There are more deaths to report in Syria. Exactly why Arab League diplomats are talking about extending their monitoring mission. 54 bodies were found Saturday. Various reports put the death toll over 10 months at 6,000. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. CNN Radio.
Geico makes it so simple to save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. But why stop there? Geico finds every possible way to save you even more money. Good driver discounts, multi-car discounts, even good student discounts. And don't forget our looking fine discount. A discount for the attractive folk like yourselves. Okay, there's not really a looking fine discount, just seeing if you're paying attention. It's not a bad idea, though.
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
we're all resolving to run our lives a little better. Why not start with making sure our vehicles run better, too?
The seasons have taken a toll on your car and your car battery. But Sears Auto Center, featuring iHeart Batteries, is here to help. Come in today and ask about a free battery check. You don't have to worry about getting stuck with a dead battery. Plus, save on all Michelin tires and get a $70 Sears Award card instantly when you buy four. So you can add another resolution to your list, saving some money. Go to SearsAuto.com for more money-saving offers and coupons. Sears Auto Center. While car quantities last, in-store only. Ends 128. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kate Swirling.
More about China. In 1979, my husband and I were fortunate enough to be in China exactly when our two governments agreed to trade with each other. The Chinese people were dancing in the streets. I wondered how all this would play out. The agrarian country was now becoming a world trader. Let's fast forward to 2011. In our eagerness to trade with China, it became, and still is, lopsided. It's called free trade, where only one side benefits. Along the way, somehow we seduced ourselves into giving up our own industries, which had kept us independent. We thought, perhaps, that being a service-oriented society would be all right. The U.S. has really been living in a fool's paradise on a phony economy. Now we are world-dependent. We have helped China to become so wealthy that she owns us, because most of her profits are in billions and are invested in our nation. A long time ago, I read in Barron's, the financial periodical, something that's very compelling. Listen, we have not been through anything like what we are going through now. Probably for more than 20 years, we've been able to convince the world lately to lend us and to provide us with goods that we do not produce anymore and that we cannot afford to pay for. And now the problem is big, especially since the real estate bubble. We borrowed so much money from abroad that our trade deficits are now enormous, and our industrial base has been allowed to decay for so long that we can only survive in this economy thanks to the charity of the rest of the world. Perhaps we must resurrect what worked for us before, that is, our own industries, and reject our debt dependency on other nations. That's the path our forefathers vigorously admonished us to take when our nation was created. We must, however, factor in that the world has changed. Once the world had workers in the millions. Now, with China and India in the world market, the global workforce is in the billions with a B. So the inflation of workers creates resentment and competition. The stage is set for the inevitable confrontation of China and India versus the U.S. and Europe. And how that situation will play out remains to be seen. For KSCO, this is Kay Swirling.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Got your forecast here for the Central Coast. We got about a 20% chance of showers today. It's going to be mostly cloudy. High of about 54. The west-northwest winds around 15 miles per hour with gusts up to about 20. And tonight, increasing clouds, low around 37 with north winds between 5 and 10 per hour. And tomorrow we got a chance of rain after 10 a.m., about a 30% chance of rain. It's going to be cloudy and a high near 54. Southeast winds between 5 and 15 miles per hour. And for current temperatures, I've got Salinas at 51 degrees. It's 58 in Watsonville, and Monterey's at 54. We're at 51 here in Santa Cruz. Right outside KSCO Studios for your Monterey Bay Boaters forecast. The west winds are 5 to 15 knots, the wind waves 1 to 3 feet, west swell 7 to 9 feet at 12 seconds. And tonight, northeast winds 5 to 15 knots, wind waves will be about 1 to 3 feet, a west swell of 8 to 10 feet at 14 seconds. Tomorrow out there, the southeast winds 5 to 15 knots, wind waves 1 to 3 feet, west swell 6 to 8 feet at 14 seconds, and a chance of rain in the afternoon out there tomorrow. For your King of the Hill traffic update, I've got a few things to report here. It looks like there was a traffic collision reported at 1039, and this is Portola Drive at East Cliff Drive, and CHP is on the scene there. There is also a traffic collision just reported at 1054, and this is Spreckles Drive at Moosehead Drive. And that is involving two vehicles, and CHP is on the way there. If you see something out there that I did not report, you can let me know by calling me at 831-475-1080. The official time is 11:08 and 40 seconds on this Saturday, January 21st. Up next, the second hour of the Saturday special. Stay tuned. KSCO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
May I ask you another personal question?
Go for it. Let's see what you got.
Okay. Do you think I write good promos?
Do I think you write good promos?
Yeah, like for the Saturday special and so forth, you know.
I don't have a problem with them. I don't think they're bad. I don't pay a whole lot of attention to them.
You don't?
No, I play them. My job is to play them,
okay,
not to make them.
Well, you know, it's one of the few things that I've ever gotten compliments on is the promos that I write, you know, particularly about the Saturday special. Are you feeling sad, like I'm feeling sad now, that I didn't write a promo, one of my great MZ promos, for the Saturday special, for this particular one?
Yeah, I was looking for it because this is a really unique one, and I was looking for something really clever.
Do you think
Because you're clever with them, like, you know, how you intro it, so.
Yeah, you know, now, usually I produce the promo when we know, when there's plenty of time, when we know what the subject is going to be. But I'm so damn lazy, you know, I didn't even think of this topic until, like, yesterday at 7:30 in the morning, you know, when I heard the news that about Newt Gingrich and all that.
Yeah.
I started thinking about that. I produce promos late.
Yeah.
Sometimes I produce them as late as the day of the Saturday special.
Yeah.
But I've never produced a promo in arrears. Do you think that I should do one for this, you know, for the podcast or something?
Yeah, actually, you could
really?
Throw it up on the internet, because then it would just like as an intro to the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
like
we'll see. I'm just sort of thinking about that. All right. Well, we're going to start hour number two officially, and here's how we do it.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
Well, now after that first hour, I've had more time to think about it, and I'm more convinced than ever that open marriages should be fine as long as at least one party knows about it and agrees to it.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
Yeah, and we have special guests today, Sarah Taub and Michael Rios, both proponents of open relationships, and polyamory, a new word I just loined recently. And, oh, my God, it looks like we have somebody else on the line, our second caller of the day from KSCO country. But we're going – so Claire in Santa Cruz, we appreciate that you called here, but you weren't the first. So we want to talk to Nancy in Maryland, and got to finish talking with Dawn in San Leandro, Alan in Boston, Massachusetts, Tara in New York, and Carol in PA. I think that's Pennsylvania. So here, let's Sarah and Michael, are you there?
Right here.
We're okay,
here.
Good. Here. So let's finish up with we finish up. We didn't even really start with Dawn in San Leandro. Dawn. Uh-oh.
Hey.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Yes.
I think I hold on a second here. Hold on a second. I think we lost the others. Yeah, we lost the others. I didn't lock them in. Oh, God, I feel like such an idiot. All right, we'll close that. We'll bring Dawn back on. And, yeah, Nikki's going to get... Hi. Nikki's going to get Sarah and Michael back on the phone here. Operator idiocy here. Got rid of her guests. But anyhow, Dawn, tell us your story here. Do you regularly listen to KSCO?
I am not a regular listener, I must say, although I am more local than most of the people that have been calling in for you.
That is correct.
I'm here in the SFA area.
How much would you charge to become a regular listener of KSCO?
Well, you know...
Because we need all we can get.
I have a coaching business.
And we have a small budget. We have a small budget to buy some listeners. Not a big one, but...
Okay. Well, you know, I have a regular rate, so we could talk.
Okay. So how'd you find out about this program so that you tuned in and then called in?
I found out on the Polyamory Leadership Network, of which both myself and Sarah and Michael are a part. It's a loose organization of polyamorous leaders internationally, actually, mostly in the U.S. and Canada, but there are folks scattered all over the world.
Fascinating. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you found out about it, you tuned in, and you called in. Great.
Yep.
So what's your story? You started to tell us. You started to tell us, and then the news bit us.
Well, one thing I want to address is your little hook there you threw out about open relationships being okay as long as one person knows about it. And I just wanted to say, of course, you're being silly. And one of the points about polyamory, and I identify as polyamorous, which I consider to be, as I mentioned, an overlapping set with open relationships. But the key points about polyamory are multiple, open, honest, adult relationships with the full knowledge and consent of everyone involved. So
I couldn't help it. I kind of have a little bit of fun. You know, everything's too damn serious on talk radio. You know, everybody's the world is going to end. We're all going to die, as Dave Allen would say.
Yeah,
I got to have a little fun, so I figured I'd inject a little tiny bit of fun here in the donut of the hour
to
open.
Well, I just wanted to get that in there. So
but you are definitely you're definitely on your toes. You caught that, and I hope a bunch of other people did too.
So my personal background in open relationships and polyamory is I've identified essentially, at least it, looking at it in retrospect, I've been identified with being polyamorous for a very long time. Of course, the word polyamory wasn't invented until the early 90s, so I just knew that I wasn't comfortable in individual monogamous type relationships. That didn't seem to resonate for me. I didn't understand why I had to choose between my boyfriends in high school. It didn't make any sense to me. And so I myself am married, have been married since 1990. My husband and I are currently separated, but we both practice polyamory, and we have been practicing and living polyamorously with intent since the mid 1990s. And in fact, we've been hosting a poly pool party since 1998, regular event. One of the things that I noted was you seem to be having some difficulty finding people who identified as open.
At least from our KSCO terrestrial radio coverage audience.
Right, yes. And I wanted to sort of put in a word about that, that one of the reasons it may be hard to get people to talk about this is that polyamory and open relationships are still discriminated against. One of the big scary things for poly people is that they can lose their kids in in fight with especially with other relations with, you know, if you get into a custody battle with an ex or with grandparents and they don't believe that it's okay, that it can be a real deal. So it doesn't surprise me that you might have a hard time finding people willing to stand up and talk about
it. Okay, now it's beginning to make sense. Well, that brings to mind a question that I have. Mm-hmm. Do you think people are more likely to cop to being gay these days than to cop to being polyamorous?
That's a tough question, but I do believe so.
I think so too, now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, I think it depends on the part of the country you're in, but in general,
absolutely,
at this point, being gay is a lot easier in many places. I don't know.
Definitely
place,
around here.
Yeah, right. It's kind of in here in your neck of the woods. But I can't think of any place in the country where being poly is welcomed. There are a few places where it is tolerated.
Yeah. Here in the Bay Area, it's a relative hotbed of polyamorous people.
Hey, am I right that the old expression to describe polyamorism is swingers?
Well, that's something different. Can I speak to that?
Yeah, please.
Go, Sarah.
So there's sort of an age-old conversation, you know, is it poly, is it swinging, what's going on there? So the swingers in the swing community are people, generally married people, who have recreational sex, and they get together for that purpose, and it's all consensual, it's all above the board. Most swingers don't have emotional relationships with the people that they have sex with. Now, there are some that do, but really, for swinging, pretty much you can say it's about the sex. For polyamory, it's really about intimate emotional relationships. It's about creating family, you know. And so there are some swingers who are also poly. There's some poly people who are also swingers. But it's like comparing apples and oranges.
Are there poly people who have multiple kids with multiple partners?
Well, there are monogamous people who do, so I assume poly people do too.
That was sort of a dumb question, huh? Okay, I'll go.
Sorry about that.
Okay, yeah.
It was too much of a softball. I couldn't resist.
I know. Every once in a while. Okay.
The answer is yes.
Yes, clearly. Okay. Sometimes I ask stupid questions.
Oh, no, but
truly innocently, instead of tongue in cheek, like I did during the donut here.
I appreciate that about you. Yeah. That's how you learn.
Yeah.
You know, ask away. Ask anything.
Well, and I think the implicit question there is: are there situations where you have long-term stable, you know, groups of three, four, or more people, where the parentage, you know, varies among the group? And the answer is absolutely yes.
Yes. Absolutely, yes.
That makes sense. Okay, listen, Dawn, we want to make sure that you got to say everything you wanted to say, because we really want to get to Nancy and Marilyn Allen in Boston and Tara in New York and Carol in Pennsylvania and even Claire in Santa Cruz.
Okay. Well, I would like to raise one more point, and that's you touched on the idea of kids and polyamorous, and kids in poly or kids in open relationships and them being raised in relationships of that sort.
Yeah. And, isn't that sort of like a kibbutz?
It can be, not necessarily. But I wanted to point out that, you know, there are some studies being done, and there are studies on GLBT folks that show that kids raised in a polyamorous or open relationship or in a GLBT context.
Gay, lesbian, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. So they're not any more likely to become gay or lesbian or poly than they are to become monogamous. You know, it both come out of all relationship styles. Monogamous people raise poly and gay and lesbian kids, you know, and gay and lesbians raise, you know, straight kids, and, you know, it just doesn't really matter that much. All kinds of relationship style can come out of all kinds of relationship style modeling.
Yes.
Okay. And I wanted to just say, you know, my stepdaughter, for instance, she IDs as monogamous, but my teen daughter, she sees her friends' jealous dramas in high school as really silly, and she can't understand why all her friends aren't poly.
Okay. Fascinating. Hey, Dawn, thanks for calling KSCO. We hope you'll continue to listen.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
I found it a very pleasant experience.
Thank you. There was that, there goes Dawn in San Leandro. Here comes Nancy in Maryland. Hi, Nancy. You are on the air here. Wait a second. Oop. Here, just a second here. I want to make sure I get everything right. Yeah, Nancy in Maryland, you're on the air on KSCO.
Perfect. Am I coming through?
Yes, now you are, yes.
Excellent. I just called to support Michael and Sarah. For a short time, I was in a V with them, which means that Michael and I had intimate relations. Sarah and I didn't, but we considered our, you know, everybody defines it differently. And actually, Michael's the one who taught me about polyamory. We were both coming out of divorces. And on our first date, he's explaining to me what polyamory is. And I'm going, and how does this work? And everybody knows, and it's okay. And so, you know, the little girl from North Carolina, her eyes opened and delightfully opened, and have been polyamorous now for probably 12 years now.
And you moved to Maryland.
And I'm in Maryland. Uh-huh. It was a commute down to see Michael, depending on the traffic, 50 minutes to 3 hours. So not that his house was moving, but the traffic in the area. And so that's part of the reason why he and I aren't lovers anymore, but I consider both Michael and Sarah part of my heart tribe or heart family, and they always will be.
Oh.
That's a really important thing, Michael, is that, you know, Nancy and I aren't, you know, sexual lovers at this point, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Wait a minute. Nancy wants to say something.
What are you saying?
Nancy.
No, I was just teasing. I was saying, Michael, we could talk about it at some point.
We could talk about it, right. Okay. But see, that's what's cool. That's another part. You know, this is not necessary. One of the things that comes out of polyamorous and open relationships is that people get to adjust their relationships to whatever works for them without losing the other part. So yep. Nancy and I and Sarah often do all kinds of various interesting projects together and stuff like that. We talk all the time. We're really close to each other. And who is sleeping with whom that at that moment doesn't matter.
Can I add a story to that? This is Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. Sure.
So, actually, a couple of stories. First of all, Michael's co-parent, his former wife, is actually still very close with all. She lives across the country now. But, you know, as Michael likes to say, they aren't, he doesn't call her his ex-wife because they aren't ex-anything. They're very close, and I see her as a sister, really. She's part of our family. And I also want to tell a story about a long-term lover of mine, someone I've known maybe for 20 years now, who lives across the country from me. And we were living in the same place and much more in each other's lives back in the 90s, and since then we've moved away from each other, but we still stayed emotionally close. And a few years ago he met a woman who's also polyamorous that he decided to get married to, and she's from Europe. So when they had the wedding out there on the West Coast, you know, friends and family came in from all over the world, and you know, she had lovers coming and visiting from her home country, and I was out there visiting my friend as well for the wedding, and so they got married and, you know, had a few days together after the wedding, and then we arranged so that I could have a date with my long-term lover and she could have a date with her long-term lover, and we spent time in those dyads as well. So it was a very happy poly wedding.
Wow. Great. Hey, well, thanks for sharing that that story. Nancy, are we done?
Just wanted to say that for me, the appeal for polyamory is what Sarah and Michael were talking about earlier, about the communication and the honesty. that should be there in a monogamous relationship, but at least for me, I never found it.
Okay.
And so the for it's not that poly people don't also have, you know, they're people, but as a whole, they tend to be way, way more honest and open and about all kinds of subjects. And
right.
The communication skills. When you bring in an extra person, like Michael says, what is it, Michael? Things don't just double. It increases exponentially as to the negotiations you have to go through.
Yeah, the one challenge about being polyamorous is scheduling gets to be quite complex.
Yeah, and by the way, do you have a job? Or are you independently wealthy? What do you do for a living? How do you support your polyamory?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I'm independently poor.
Okay.
What that means is that I arrange my expenses so that they're very, very low, and I happen to be fortunate enough to have certain skills that people pay ridiculous amounts of money for, so I can spend a relatively small amount of time earning my living, and
is it too personal to ask what those skills are?
No, I'm a geek.
Oh, okay, all right, I understand.
You know, but I'm one of the few geeks that can do both hardware and software.
Okay.
And that's sufficiently rare.
It is.
I can kind of call them shots.
It's too bad you don't live out here. No, wait a minute. That's terrible. We're very, very well covered here at KSCO. Thank you. Right in the middle of geek land.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's a standard joke in the industry. You know, how many programmers does it take to change a light bulb?
Oh, many.
None. It's a hardware problem.
Oh, right. Great. All righty. Hey, listen, I want to thank Nancy in Maryland. Robert in Santa Cruz is on the line. He's opposed. Now, wait a minute. Robert, please stay on. But it's very, very rude to leave people like Alan in Boston and Tara in New York waiting so long. So we want to take their calls at least first. And, Alan in Boston, you're on the air on KSCO.
Yes, hi.
Thanks for waiting, by the way.
No problem. I'll keep this short. Getting back to Newt Gingrich, what ticks me off here is that too much of the news media are saying, oh, he are making it like he had an open relationship or he was really asking for one or was asking to be polyamorous. And no, what he was doing was exploitive and manipulative and the opposite of being ethical and kind and caring towards his wife, if we can believe Marianne's side of the story, which is really the only side of the story that we've heard. But I was reading an article. There was somebody who said that Newt Gingrich's case is to polyamory as rape is to making love. They are not the same thing, and I hate to see the word used that way.
Okay. All righty. Thank you for calling in for that. Are you finished, or do you have another point to make?
I suppose if you've got other people.
We do have other people, and it was Robert who was opposed, who apparently had to leave because he was on a calling card. Damn. Robert, if you can still hear us on your smartphone or something, if you call in, we will put you to the head of the line because you're the only person. We try to inject as much balance as possible into our radio programs here, and you would have been the only person who was opposed to what, and I don't understand how people can be opposed to something that everybody is fine with. If all parties do, it's like a victimless crime, you know.
More thing to put in.
Yeah.
People who are automatically opposed. There was a caller, a sweet caller earlier, who talked about her two former husbands. She'd been widowed twice. Who are in heaven, and she's in a relationship.
Yeah, Norma Jean.
Yeah. Now. This occurred to me when I was very little, when I was a very young child, and there was a man down the street from us who had lost his wife, and then he remarried, and I thought, well, when they all get to heaven together, who's really the wife? And the fact is, when they all get to heaven together, if you believe this, they are all going to be in a relationship together. They'll all pair together. We will all be poly in heaven. Okay? If you
know, Jesus said that. He said, in heaven there will be no marriage nor giving in marriage.
Wow.
That's in the Bible.
Yeah.
And if you can wrap your head around that and then think, well, yes, we are more imperfect here on earth than in heaven. Nevertheless, we can make these things work to some extent. Some people make them work very well, even right here on earth now.
Right. Okay. Hey, I'm so happy you brought that up and called and waited as long as you did, Alan, and hope you'll continue to listen to KSEO in Boston, Massachusetts.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Alan in Boston. Here comes Carol in Carol in Pennsylvania. Thanks for waiting, Carol.
Hi. Hi. I've been waiting for quite a while, but it's been worth it.
Oh, thank you.
And I am also part of the Poly Leadership Network with Dawn, with Michael Rios, and with Sarah. So hi to all of you. I wanted to pick up on a couple things that Dawn said about children, raising children and teenagers in polyamory and custody and all that kind of stuff. My background is as a family therapist and in behavioral health, meaning mental health and going to families' homes to work with kids who have emotional and behavioral problems. And way back in the dark ages in the 70s, I was doing a master's research thesis about people's attitudes about such things as premarital sex, group marriages, open marriage, and some other things, and contrasting how a college sample and a community sample would answer questions or their attitudes about those kinds of topics. And that's where I first found out about it. And I went, wow, this is really cool. Gee, hubby, can we do this too? And he looked at me like, you've got to be kidding. So that marriage ended a few years later for a lot of other reasons besides that. But and then I was in a V relationship, which is where, I guess it's been explained, but I'll explain it once more, where one person, the focal person, is involved with both of the other two people, but the two people on the legs of the V are not physically involved with each other. And that lasted until the person who was the focus of the V, my long partner, had the audacity to pass away unexpectedly over a weekend. So that kind of threw all that into a turmoil. But
Go ahead, Carol.
No, he didn't wear himself out with both of us. He had some heart problems, and he died of a heart attack, basically. But I wanted to focus on, raising kids with more than one adult in a household has been going on for generations and generations in this country and other places. There are the nuclear family is really a very post-World War II kind of phenomena where people had the money when they were just married to move out and have their own place and have their own car or house or apartment or whatever and live separately in another town or another part of town or another area of the country from their family and friends that they had grown up with. So So having multiple generations or aunts and uncles or neighborhoods where there are good friends of next door or whatever, or the children's friends' parents, you all kind of co-parent together, is something that's been going on for generations and is nothing new. But unfortunately, when some people think that, oh my gosh, some strange man is maybe raising my granddaughter, grandparents can get real upset for no reason. And that's why as a therapist and as a family educator, I try to talk with poly parents or parents in alternative loving styles to let their families and know quite well what they're doing and see that the kids are happy and that the kids love having more than one person that can throw a ball with them, read a bedtime story, go to the basketball game or whatever with, as long as the people who are the primary parents set the rules and everybody follows those as far as how the children are to be dealt with.
Carol, may I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
I detest labels, but, you know, I'm going to I'm gonna not detest labels for just a moment. Are you? Would you call yourself politically liberal or politically conservative, or neither?
I will parse that out. I am socially liberal and fiscally pretty conservative. So it kind of depends on the person and the issue. Yeah. I'm sorry to mess things up for you.
No, it's okay. I should have asked this question to everybody individually. It would seem to me that people who are open to these kinds of alternative relationships, if they were to put themselves in a liberal or conservative box, it would be the liberal box. That it's not something that would strike me as something that a conservative would ever, embrace. But maybe I'm wrong. So
they're taking those terms in very broad brush.
I know. So it's really not.
I parsed it out.
And it's not nice for me to continue something that I detest myself. So I ought to be ashamed of myself. So
Michael,
I will thrash myself now.
Yeah, Michael.
Yeah.
An interesting thing is that the studies I've seen indicate that swingers politically tend to be right of center.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, of course, Newt Gingrich. I mean, no one would – he proudly calls himself a conservative. And by the way, Bob in Carmel says, Michael, in the email here, in evaluating Newt's unfaithfulness, I give a lot of credence to his daughters, although from his first marriage, standing by him so strongly. If anyone is in a position to know the rest of the story, they are. Thank you, Bob and Carmel. MZ@KSCO.com if you want to hit us with an email. Nikki, it's time for a break, and we will do that. I want to thank Carol in Pennsylvania. Thank you, Carol. Poor Tara in New York has been waiting 45 minutes and 31 seconds. So we're going to bring Tara on right now, and then we're going to do the break. Tara, thanks for waiting.
Welcome.
You're on.
I'm on. Thank you.
You sure are, yeah. So what's your story, Tara?
Well, I happen to know many of the folks you've talked to today, and that's one of the beautiful things about the supportive network that polyamorous people have created for themselves. We're sort of a small town spread out across the globe, and I'm tickled to hear people I haven't heard speak for a while but have met from all over the country. So I'm in here in New York, and I live with my partner, who I refer to as my nesting partner, to sort of dispel with the idea that there isn't room for more people alive. We live here with my 15-year-old daughter and a dog and a cat. My daughter knows, all of my kids know that we're in a polyamorous relationship. In fact, we have a date tonight with a girlfriend we have in common who will be over this evening, and my daughter is out on a date of her own to make that more possible. And many polyamorous people will say, I've been polyamorous my whole life and I just didn't realize it till a bit later on. And I really muddled around with monogamy for quite a while. And if this point hasn't been brought up already, what I want to say is that I feel much more secure in my relationship in a polyamorous context than I ever did in a monogamous context, because of the fact that no one needs to be dumped, so to speak, in order to make room for someone else. One of the principles we really function under is that love shared is love multiplied. When my partner meets someone that I can make a connection with as well, that may be a lover for him, may be a new friend for me, because I'm bisexual. Top possibilities could possibly be more than that, but it's really for me a very secure feeling to know that no matter who else comes into my partner's life or who else comes into my life, it is not going to damage the depth of our bond in any way. In fact, it usually increases it substantially. It increases the intimacy. It increases the opportunity to know more about each other by who we choose, who those people are, how they share with that person.
Okay. Well, thank you, Tara in New York. Here's an email that just in, actually 22 minutes ago, but I'm just reading it now, from Jason. Says, sorry, Michael, this is a boring topic for the Saturday special. I'm going back to bed to catch some Z's with both of my girlfriends, of course. Okay. And George Myers here, let's see. all of these poly people make me feel like taking a shower. Do they also think incest is okay? The family that swings together stays together? A weird show, to say the least, MZ. Remember that guy you had on years ago, Open Lines for Open Minds? Maybe a closed mind like Newt's is open to three or four partners. Hail to the Pillsbury Doughboy. Let's not get back to potholes in Santa... No, let's get back to potholes in Santa Cruz. I'm sure George is being facetious. I'm sure George... Maybe he's not. I don't know. Let's see. This Saturday special, Dick Landon says, no call, not a surprise to me. I've never heard such a load. I like the one about the female open poly person who said it gave her a chance to just have relationships without sex. What? With three question marks? A few questions to your distinguished guests. One, don't poly person relationships mess up the kids? Two, any stats on communicable diseases in poly relationship? Three, I do understand the amorous part in polyamorous, but isn't, and number four, isn't a polyamorous relationship really mean you can never trust your partner since at any moment he or his has just hooked up?
Oh, I'd love to speak to some of the questions.
Hey,
Michael,
Dick Landon, why don't you call the Saturday special? I'm going to give you the phone number right now, 479-1080. You know, 479-1080. Dick Landon, I want you to call in and go on the air with Sarah and Michael, okay? And we're not going to forget Claire. We have to go to Claire here. But Tara, I want to thank you, okay? Thank you very much for your call to the Saturday special. A lot of open lines now.
Can I speak to some of those questions?
Sure,
raised?
Sure. Go ahead.
So the question of trusting your partner and of sexually transmitted diseases. So where do you think you'd be more likely to catch a disease? With a partner who's lying to you and cheating, or with a partner who is open and honest with you about what he or she is doing? You know, in the poly community...
What do you say to that, Dick Landon? What do you say to
you
that?
You know, in the poly community, people get really, really, really educated on STDs. I mean, we have classes on it. You know, we learn how to get tested. We get tested regularly. We communicate with our partners. You know, I think that the level of awareness and proper etiquette behavior around STDs and so on is so much higher in most poly communities that I know about. You know, the thing is, and I have so much more trust for my partner because I know my partner will tell me what's going on. And even if he doesn't tell me, I have trust for him. You know, if Michael goes off without me to some meeting and meets someone he's interested in and it becomes physical, you know, that's fine with me because I know that he will come back and tell me about it. And I know that, you know, I'm doing what I need to do to be safe from STDs, and he does what he needs to do also. And so there's really nothing to worry about. If I were in a monogamous relationship, the conventional mode where we didn't talk about these things, where we could never share about attractions with others, you know, I think that partner of mine would be much more likely to be going off and cheating on me and then not telling me about it because of not wanting to make me mad or upset, and that puts me at a much higher risk. So I think there's a much higher degree of safety and trust.
Yes. Now, who can argue with that? Who can argue with that? Apparently not Dick Landon, because he hasn't called. And I know that he must still be listening. Because anybody who says, no calls, not a surprise to me, I've never heard such a load, you know they're going to be listening for the rest of the show at the very least. Anyhow, it's your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO, MZ on the Saturday special. We're going to go to Claire in Santa Cruz, and then Sun in Santa Cruz. Oh, my gosh. Hey, Claire, you're on the air. Hey, rhymes. It rhymes. Claire, you're on the air. I'm a poet.
Yeah.
Did you know that MZ was a poet?
Pardon?
Did you know that he's also a poet?
I am realizing that.
Yeah, Claire, you're on the air.
Yes. Well, I'm not a regular listener, and I know you had said something that you have a certain amount of money in your budget to...
Yes.
Okay, can we
very,
talk about that later?
Small... Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
I'd rather do that in private.
Okay, I'm willing to barter also.
Ooh.
Yes.
We need a plumber around here. You don't happen to be a plumber, do you?
No, but I do erotic art. So there's
we
some
need some of that, too. We could use some of that here.
We'll talk later.
Okay, good.
But what I want to say is I've been listening, and I guess it just doesn't really matter to me one way or another. You know, if they're happy, you know, I can barely have a relationship with myself. I can't. I don't multitask very well, so it sounds exhausting, but I don't. You know, I don't feel one way or another that it's a bad thing or a good thing. I think if they're happy doing that and it works for them, it's really nobody's business.
Now, who can argue with that?
I sure
can't.
So, it's just pretty basic.
Yeah.
I thought I better just call and let them know that
there's people out there. Yeah, thank you so much for calling, and especially waiting as long as you did. Wow.
Yeah, well, I think I'm going to cart over
to polyamory?
To listen to your show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's even better.
Well, I'm not sure whether, God, you got me all interested now. I'm not sure that polyamory wouldn't be better than this show. But anyhow, yes, we got to take a break. But what about Sun? Okay, Sun, we know Sun.
We should do another show on polyamory.
Maybe we should do a regular series that's syndicated from KSCO. We like to do interesting content, though. You know that, don't you? Hey, wait a minute. Claire went away. All right. Okay, Sun, we get to you next, but Nikki's going to kill me if we don't take a break here. And I want to be alive to say welcome back to the KSCO Saturday special.
For seniors, having close and accessible medical care is important. Here in Santa Cruz County, the majority of our local doctors and specialists are members of PMG, Physicians Medical Group, local doctors who are close to you when you need them most. With PMG, you have your own personal doctor who sees you every visit. That's something to remember when considering a Medicare Advantage plan.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Hello, Charlie Friedman here. Listen to the things your friends and neighbors are doing for themselves with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Xbox 360 repair.
Solar energy kits. Musical Tesla coil.
Video output for my media center.
Building a new server.
Repairing a student radio station.
More RAM and a sound card.
DSL line.
Network printing, scanning, and faxing for dentists.
Replacing antivirus on 12 machines.
Wireless network for court reporter agency.
Diagnosing sound card problem.
Building a 5-kilowatt amplifier.
Ham radio antenna.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Voted best electronics store 2 years running. Call Santa Cruz Electronics today at 831-479-5444 or visit at 2808 SoCal Avenue in Santa Cruz. Do it yourself and save money with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Our Regilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both my son Dino and I look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
Some are virgin, some are extra virgin, but some are not virgin at all. Hello, this is Susan Pappas from the Trail of Connection with an invitation for you to meet the man who knows the difference. Tom Mueller, author of Extra Virginity, The Sublime and Scandalous World of Olive Oil. Tom will be kicking off his natural book tour at the Trail of Connection in downtown Santa Cruz on Sunday, January 22nd from 10 to 3. Join us for the fun. We'll hear great stories from the sublime and scandalous world of olive oil. And taste some great olive oils that will have everybody cheering. Opa! Yes, Tom Mueller is coming to the Central Coast, and the True Olive Connection will be hosting him at the store at 106 Lincoln Street, downtown Santa Cruz. The True Olive Connection has also secured a very limited number of books. Please reserve your copy today for signing on Sunday the 22nd. Call the True Olive Connection at 831-458-6457 to reserve your copy. Mark your calendars. Tom Mueller at the True Olive Connection, Sunday, January 22nd. Opa!
For more information, go to TrueOliveConnection.com.
Love will keep us together. Think of me, babe, when you're
stretch of the Saturday special on open relationships, MZ with guests Sarah and Michael out of Virginia. Let's bring them back on here. And we also have probably our last caller, our own son, Mrs. Future. How you doing, son?
Hey, I am.
Good. Are you enjoying the program?
Oh, yeah. Great program. Uh-huh. Really good to bring this out.
Can't wait to hear you weigh in on this.
Yeah. Well, I figured I'd have my two cents to add since I consider myself a PhD of relationships and really I know a lot about it and a lot of people who have tried a lot of different things.
Now, do you approve of polyamory?
Well, I approve of people making agreements that they keep and building relationships that are full of integrity and trust, and I think that can be defined in a lot of ways. And polyamory can have that, and I think the people who you have on the phone really practice it that way, but I think for some people polyamory just means that I do what I want and I don't tell anybody else. You know? So I think the word itself, not the container.
Sure.
You know?
Great. Well, do you have any questions for Sarah or Michael? Because they're on.
Well, I think the main question I always have for people engaging in conscious relationships is, what is the vision? Because, you know, some people are doing it just to express themselves and be more honest and truthful. Some people are, you know, don't have any clue what they're doing. They just are trying to get out of something and going towards something without a vision to it. And ultimately, I think if you can't build trust, you can't build family. So what is the vision beyond just a person saying yes to having more of a, you know, permission for themselves?
Yeah, I think that you're raising a great point there. In some ways, when you look at what polyamory is all about and how it's come out over the last, you know, 50 to 75 years, in some senses, like I said before, it's not the focus is not the sexuality, though that is certainly an important part of it. The focus is really building extended family. The people who are my lovers or who have been my lovers or people who are lovers of my lovers or friends of my lovers are connected to me in a really strong way. We're family. And, you know, as witness the fact that, you know, of your first half dozen callers, they're all friends of ours. And, you know, one of them was a former lover. One of them, you know, one was a very, very close friend.
Yeah, and I'd like to add to that. For me, the vision is really about people learning to have aware, conscious choice in their lives and learning the skills to make that possible. So it's about learning how to know myself. What's my truth? What do I really want? And being able to negotiate for that, being able to, you know, hear a no, being able to hear what's true for my partner. And, you know, in order to be able to handle somebody else's truth that doesn't match mine, I have to develop some really strong emotional skills. What do I do when I get upset? How do I deal with my own emotions? And the better I am at doing that, the better I am at any kind of relationship, the more successful I am in my work, in my business, you know, in what I want to create in the world. So to me, it's all part of the same thing there. And I want to add that there are a lot of resources out there for people who want to practice, you know, ethical, honest, open relationships and polyamory. There didn't used to be, you know, back when I was growing up in the 70s, in the 80s, there was almost nothing. But now there are books, there are podcasts, there are websites. If you just type a polyamory into your favorite search engine, the first 10 links will probably give you tons of information. Polyamory is spelled polyamory. And, you know, trying to learn it, how to do this well by yourself is kind of like reinventing the wheel, and it can be kind of bumpy. But there are e-lists out there. There are discussion groups where you can write in and say, oh, my God, my boyfriend just told me that he has a lover and he wants to be polyamorous. What the hell am I going to do? And you know, the list will say, huh, well, that's an interesting way to start into this. Maybe you want to take a few steps back, you know, stop that other relationship, talk about it, find out what's right for you.
Gang,
I gotta
break in here. I gotta break in because there's less than 3 minutes left of the program. And I want to say, you know, I'm really fascinated that we didn't get a single call. There was one person who was in opposition, who I guess was on a calling card, didn't have any more minutes left. Robert, I think his name was. But I did get seven minutes ago, I got this from Doris in Scotts Valley, an email. Disgusting subject. Where is Kay when we need her? She does not approve of this garbage, I know. Potholes in Santa Cruz is more interesting. Get with it. Get with it, guys. That's from Doris in Scotts Valley. Thank you, Doris. Let's see. Randy. Hi, Michael. After a slow and somewhat cumbersome start, the Saturday special went well. I have a wonderful ethical poly relationship since early last year. She's married and her husband is supportive of this. We bring honesty, sensuality, mutual support, kindness, and love to the table when we get together, which is quite often. I'm eternally grateful for my poly girlfriend. Thank you. And that's from Randy in Oakland, California. It's too bad we didn't get any callers, you know, to sort of engage in discussion with you guys, Sarah and Michael. But that's just the way it is, I guess.
Well, if you get more feedback about this and want to have us on again, we'd be totally delighted. This has been a wonderful, wonderful opportunity.
Didn't I tell you? I said you
were right.
Yeah, I said you would enjoy it. Yeah, and I really appreciate it when we have topics that you don't hear very often on talk radio, and this definitely, this definitely qualifies. So that's about it, guys. This will be posted on the podcast section in the next day or two. It's going to be rebroadcast tonight on KSCO.com between the hour KSCO and KSCO.com between the hours of 10 p.m. at midnight. That's about it. See you next week. Thanks, Sarah and Michael. Thank you, son.
Okay.
Thank
Take care.
You.
Goodbye.
That's all. Oops. KSCO, Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. Here's CNN News. It's 12.
CNN Radio, I'm Tyler Beckham. Our top story, voters in South Carolina are casting ballots today in the Republican primary. CNN political analyst Ron Brownstein says a new poll shows former House Speaker Newt Gingrich with a substantial lead among likely voters.
If Gingrich does win tonight, we would have an unprecedented scenario in modern Republican politics. Different winners in Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina, and that puts us into somewhat uncharted waters heading on into Florida.
The poll shows Gingrich with 40% and 26% favor. Mitt Romney. Firefighters have fully contained huge flames that engulfed 29 homes and more than 3,000 acres near Reno, Nevada. Reporter Pat Thomas with CNN affiliate KOLO-TV explains what things are like there.
When you look up into that area, still kind of smoky, still kind of hazy, not pleasant.
U.S. diplomat Mark Grossman is in Afghanistan for talks with President Hamid Karzai on peace efforts with the Taliban. Karzai says Afghans should have control of any peace talks. At least 7 people were killed in a set of bombings and shootouts in a predominantly Christian city in Nigeria. CNN's Nima El-Baga reports a radical Islamist group is responsible.
Eyewitnesses have told us that they're still hearing sporadic rounds of gunfire exchanges coming from that police headquarters that was the scene of one of those attacks. And one of the questions really that's being posed for the Nigerian government is, can you actually maintain any sort of control? And that's a question especially Christians in the north are telling us that they're asking with increasing levels of fear and trepidation.
The death toll from that cruise ship accident in Italy is rising and environmental concerns are growing. Search crews diving through remains found a 12th body from the Costa Concordia today. At least 20 are still missing after last week's wreck, and about 2,400 tons of fuel is still on board. The question now is how to get that off. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Live from Progressive.
Let's take a call.
Hello, Flo. Progressive's Name Your Price option gives me a starting point and then lets me find the best price for me.
Sounds like you know your stuff.
Thank you.
This also sounds like my coworker, Gene, who should be at work in about an hour.
Oh, how'd you know?
You can't fool Flo.
Name your price and save. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or go to progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states for new quotes. Price match may be limited. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We're all resolved to run our lives a little better.
Why not start with making sure our vehicles run better, too?
The seasons have taken a toll on your car and your car battery. But Sears Auto Center, featuring diehard batteries, is here to help. Come in today and ask about a free battery check so you don't have to worry about getting stuck with a dead battery. Plus, save on all Michelin tires and get a $70 Sears Award card instantly when you buy four. So you can add another resolution to your list, saving some money. Go to SearsAuto.com for more money-saving offers and coupons. Sears Auto Center. While card quantities last, in-store only. Ends 1/28. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
Some are virgin, some are extra virgin, but some are not virgin at all. Hello, this is Susan Pappas from the Trail of Connection with an invitation for you to meet the man who knows the difference, Tom Mueller, author of Extra Virginity, The Sublime and Scandalous World of Olive Oil. Tom will be kicking off his natural book tour at the Trail of Connection in downtown Santa Cruz on Sunday, January 22nd from 10 to 3. Join us for the fun. We'll hear great stories from the sublime and scandalous world of olive oil. And taste some great olive oils that will have everybody cheering. Opa! Yes, Tom Mueller is coming to the Central Coast, and the True Olive Connection will be hosting him at the store at 106 Lincoln Street, downtown Santa Cruz. The True Olive Connection has also secured a very limited number of books. Please reserve your copy today for signing on Sunday the 22nd. Call the True Olive Connection at 831-458-6457 to reserve your copy. Mark your calendars. Tom Mueller at the True Olive Connection, Sunday, January 22nd. Opa!
For more information, go to TrueOliveConnection.com.
KSCO, Santa Cruz.
Good afternoon, everyone. You are tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Got your forecast here. We got about a 20% chance that we'll get more rain today. It's mostly cloudy with a high of 54. The west-northwest winds about 15 miles per hour with gusts up to about 18. And tonight, increasing clouds with a low of 37 and the north winds between 5 and 10 miles per hour. Out there on Sunday, the chance of rain after 10 a.m. is about 30%. It's going to be cloudy, high near 54, southeast winds between 5 and 15 miles per hour. And for your Monterey Bay boaters forecast, it looks like the west winds are 5 to 15 knots. The wind waves 1 to 3 feet, west swell 7 to 9 feet at 12 seconds. Numerous showers this morning, then a slight chance of showers this afternoon. Tonight, the northeast winds are going to be 5 to 15 knots with wind waves 1 to 3 feet and a west swell of 8 to 10 feet at 14 seconds. On Sunday, the southeast winds 5 to 15 knots, wind waves 1 to 3 feet, a west swell of 6 to 8 feet at 14 seconds. Chance of rain in the afternoon tomorrow as well. And for current temperatures, I've got Watsonville.